Loving these lists that the Herald Sun is compiling, and the latest one is Collingwood's top 20. John, I want to get your thoughts on the players. Nathan Buckley at the top ahead of his current skipper, Scotty Pendlebury. What do you see here?
Oh, Bucks for me is number one, and he was just, once again, having played on him and against him a fair bit, he was pretty much unstoppable as an opponent. So he sits at number one. Is there daylight to Dacos, or is he in the conversation to be a potential number one? Or does it go 1-2 daylight Dacos, and then we move into the next bracket?
Yeah, I'll defer to you on this one, John. I didn't see enough of that vintage of Dacos, of Tony Shaw, of Darren Mullane. I saw a bit of Mick McGowan.
Yeah. Mick McGowan gets in for that goal he kicked when seven bounces.
No, but huge. I didn't see enough of those guys to be able to rank them. And I mean, it's
Gavin Brown, unbelievable. Like, seriously, I was lucky enough to room with him in my first ever state game, and nervous as hell, as you could imagine, walking in. There's Gavin Brown sitting on the bed, and we didn't say a word to each other, I don't think, for the entire time we were together. But just an intimidating figure, and the way that he played was so strong. And watching him in, you know, 1990 and all those sort of things, and just what a player that he was through that whole era for the Collingwood Footy Club. You know, just tough, uncompromising player,
Nick,
but so quiet off the field.
Where do you see the Buckley Pendlebury? How big's the gap?
Oh, it's splitting hairs, I think. And if Pendlebury was one and Buckley was two, I don't think you'd have I don't think there would be a huge argument. It's funny how we come in and you know, this is one person's opinion, but it almost like it becomes the definitive list, and then it's up
it
for everyone else to go and debate. Who did this one? Is it Gilbert Gardner's doing all of the lists, or...
Would you go
attribution?
Anthony or Sav? Look at that. You've got 15 and 16.
15
so
and 16.
Where would you go?
I would have thought, and again, I didn't see... I saw more of Anthony than I did of Sav, but I would have thought that Sav would have been higher. Is that a fair call? You play...
Sav moving to North Melbourne.
Ah, right. Okay.
But yep. Anthony, I think just because of that aspect of being just a Collingwood player, sits him in front of his brother.
Yep, that's a fair call. There's a lot of modern
what
day
about Brody
players.
Brody Grundy,
there.
Brody Grundy at 10.
Yeah, that's high. I think he'll be, he could move into the top five by the time he's done. So how many good years has he had, Brody Grundy?
I was having a look through. The last two and a half have been
been all Australian twice. Yeah.
So then 2016 was very solid. That's when he started to. So it's probably been the two and a half, definitely, but it was a growth to that point.
Yeah, and he's currently leading the Brownlow medal.
Yeah, 3 votes. How good was that? If they could have given him all the votes that night,
I think they might.
They would have. Yeah. So yeah, probably a little bit higher. It's probably a selection on where he will get.
Yep.
Where he will get to in climbing inside that top 10 in the future.
Yep.
But as you said, a few modern day players, it just shows premiership teams obviously have that fine calibre side bottom, Heath Shaw, Nick Maxwell, all from that 2010 premiership team. And we're going to head to the number one pie in our eyes, Eddie Maguire. Eddie, thank you so much for joining us. Trying to pick the favourite pie, is that like trying to pick your favourite child?
Absolutely. They're all favourites. As soon as they pull on the black and white stripes, they're all part of my love for the club and have left an indelible mark on the football club. But, yeah, there's been some mighty players to pull on those stripes over the years. Not that the AFL ever, you know, give us much of a rap. We don't get any teams of the century or anything like that. So we just name our own and keep boxing on. All we have to do at Collingwood is, you know, keep the Collingwood people happy, and that's all that matters. But, geez, there's some ripping players there.
No, you've done a good job at that over the years, Ed, no doubt about that. But let's start at the top. Buckley is listed at one in this list and Pendlebury at two. Do you agree? And I don't want any sort of dancing around the question.
No, I'd say that at the moment because Bucks, I think you always got to put that extra bit in for Bucks, that he was a bit of a one-man band there for a while. And, you know, he just played some great football. But not only that, he was the marketing face of the club. You know, when I was took over in 1998, at the end of 98 as president, we put Bucks in as captain. It was probably early. You know, Gavin Brown selflessly stood down so that we could do that. So Bucks as an overall player as well. And Glenn McFarlane mentioned in his story today that Bob Rose told me that Jock McHale Sorry, I'll take that back. I was told that Jock McHale said that Bob Rose was the best Collingwood player he saw in his time at the club, which was everything other than the first couple of years. And then Bob Rose told me that Nathan Buckley was the best player that he'd seen at the club. Now, he wasn't there, obviously, Bobby, unfortunately, when Scotty Pendlebury came along, but Scott Pendlebury is right up there. I know you don't want me to split, but, geez, it's a near-run thing these days with the best and fairest that Scotty's won, the Norm Smith medal, the premiership that he's won, and he has developed into as good a captain as anybody. And he'll break all records at Collingwood if we ever get back on the park, fingers crossed. Our longest ever games player, so he's got longevity. He's got the longest as the captain of the Collingwood Football Club, most games at the MCG. He's played on the biggest stages and played with aplomb. And he is a superstar. So I can't believe that I've basically seen all of Bucks' career and certainly all of Pendle's career as the president of the football club. Talk about having a front row seat to history and some of the greatest players in the history of the game. It's just been unbelievable. And both of them, not one scintilla of issue other than wanting to play and wanting to do the right thing by Collingwood. They are just two blokes I love.
Eddie, what about we go down the list a little bit to picks 15 and 16? You've got Anthony Rocker and Saverio Rocker. Who would you select there? Who's your favourite out of the brothers?
Anthony, because you didn't go to North.
That's exactly what we said.
Yeah, no, good call.
Both superstars. Hey, don't forget, Anthony Rocker actually, you know, probably made Anzac Day the game that it was by, you know, kicking nine that day on the first ever game against Essendon. So he has a unique history at the Collingwood Football Club. And Anthony, I mean, I'll never, ever forget that goal he kicked when Ryan Loney came off the halfback flank in the preliminary final against the Adelaide Crows in 2002. Pies hadn't hadn't won a final for 2 years. We won, of course, at Port Adelaide the week before. We get onto the MCG. The biggest roar I've ever heard in football ever was that day when Loney hit him on the chest and he was inside the centre square. He swung around and went bang. And you could hear the ball almost explode, and it went right through the middle, just as he did the next week when the stupid goal umpire gave it a point.
I was just about to say that. He kicked a bigger one next week when they didn't even pay it.
I was right behind that.
Of course you were.
Like I was right behind Tony Liberatore's in 97 then.
Exactly.
Well, that probably was, but mine was. And Lee Matthews even saw it. He was one level down right behind the kick.
Hey, what about Brodie Grundy, Ed? We were just debating. Yeah. He's 10 on this list, which is really high considering how young he is into his career. How high can he climb?
Oh, he can go as high as you like. I mean, look at Len Thompson, who won 5 Copeland trophies and a Brownlow medal and was so unlucky. Best on ground in the 77 grand final and one of our best in the replay. Did everything he possibly could, Len. And he was the talisman of our club until Bucks was able to get 6 Copelands. Brodie's won the last 2. He's only 25 years of age. He signed for 7 years. And most of all, he's dedicated himself to the club. I think he'll become an even better team player now that he's starting to grow into his persona at the club and also his responsibility at the club. So Brodie's got the temperament and, fingers crossed, he gets a good run with injuries over his career and he can start racking them up. He is a superstar. We saw round one this year. He was the best player on the ground. Alongside, I thought, Scott Pendlebury, to be honest. In the first half, I thought Pendles was absolutely sublime. And sometimes I think he gets marked down and has missed out on a few things like Victorian captaincies and Australian captaincies. And that's not taking anything away from the guys who were the captains on those occasions. But I think he's almost so unassuming and is just such a great player that people sometimes miss his greatness. He's a superstar. But Brodie's, yeah, he's got the chance to be the player of his generation. No doubt about that.
Ed, one player that would have been on the list if you had got him across the line and would have been battled for number one was Nick Riewoldt. How close were you to actually securing the services of the great man?
Yeah.
Well, mate, Nick and I had a cup of tea after the grand final 1 year. And look, to be perfectly honest, Nick was always torn. He was never going, well, he almost came at one stage because it was more that the St Kilda Football Club weren't treating Nick well at that stage. And I thought the footy world weren't giving him the respect that he deserved. And that's the only reason why we had a chat. It was never an offer. No offer actually hit the table with Nick. But certainly I said to him, hey, look, you know, you could come to Collingwood. Here's what we're doing. If there is a change on St Kilda at that stage, we're clearing out their senior players. And I said to him, you know, you don't want to be down. Well, Nick said to me he didn't want to be a burden on the club at that stage. He had injuries. He was given a one-year contract. And really the conversation was for Nick, if he thought he could get a deal for his football club that would be great for them and he was able to come maybe to Collingwood and get a couple of extra years there and help both clubs, that would be the only reason he'd do it. At no stage did Nick ask about money. At no stage did Nick say, I want to come to Collingwood. His heart was always with the Saints, and maybe it was just an exercise in Nick really wanting to be the Saints player in the end of his career that he went on to become. And possibly it needed St Kilda to have a look and say, what would life be like to see Nick Riewoldt in a black and white rather than a red, black and white jumper? And in the end, I think the best result happened for everyone. But I'll just say this absolutely categorically. At no stage did Nick Riewoldt want to do anything other than play for his beloved Saints. It was a wonderful conversation with a wonderful person of football. And I think it was a really good exercise at that particular moment with everybody trying to do the right thing. So, Nick, if you had come across there, mate, we might have been talking about you properly in this conversation and introducing you as a three-time Collingwood Premiership player. What were you thinking, man?
You never know.
What were you thinking?
I know we never mentioned money, but just out of interest, Ed. I'll tell you what, though. I was on a flight the next day over to Texas, and I sat on the plane, and I don't know how this man does it, but just as the doors were about to shut and we're about to taxi out and take off, I get a message come through from Eddie that was like a novel, talking about playing at the MCG and playing on Anzac Day. All I had to think about for the next 14 hours with no phone reception was that bloody text message. So it was timing. A great chat. Where are you, Eddie? Where are you currently?
I'm actually at Channel 9, believe it or not. Footy Classifieds on tonight, so make sure you draw me at 10 o'clock.
Wish you hadn't said that. Yeah. Wish I hadn't have asked.
Guys, it was something like this. I said, and there it is. I'm across the road from Eddie Head, actually, at the moment. I said, that joint, it's killing you. That hard ground, you don't want to be there. The Saints are looking to the future. They're not going to be in the action for a little while yet. You could come across, mate, the MCG. Can you imagine what it's like running out on Anzac Day, running out against Carlton, the Collingwood Army behind you, Nick? This could be your destiny, mate, to lead the Magpies to premiership glory.
How did you say no to this?
It was
and
a we'll tough sell.
And we'll build to say thank you for everything you've done.
It was a tough sell. It was a tough sell.
Did you ring him or just send him a little text?
No, we spoke on the phone when I landed. We went about it the right way. Hey, we know you're on the, I guess you'd call it the war committee, the wartime committee for the state of the game at the moment. What updates can you give us, Ed? We know that now that the AFL has been able to secure a line of credit from the banks.
Yeah, well, Nick, basically today we're all taking a deep breath and we're sorting out amongst the clubs as well how we all stick together through this next period. The government has given us a line of support to the banks, so that is fantastic. And I think people have to take that into consideration when some people are discussing where the future of the game goes and whether Victorian clubs are in it or not. Well, I can give you the tip. The Victorian government have been the ones who stood behind the AFL, the Australian Football League, but they haven't done it to see Victorian clubs disappear. Let me give you that just as a bit of a head start. So I think... The next thing for us now is to just work through everything, because every single day another issue comes up as far as finance is concerned. And then we have to now start planning for what it looks like if we start to play in September, October, November, December, June, July, whatever the case may be. And also, you know, look after our members, because our members are everything at the moment. We need to look after our members just as our members are looking after us. It's a real wartime effort. I know we're talking about that as far as the general community, but within the football community, that's the way we're trying to do. We're trying to get there and survive, get through the hard times, and then hopefully the good times will come quickly for us and we can get back to what we need to do in the community. But it's hard going at the moment and there's not much sleep. There's lots of meetings. There's not so much angst because luckily everybody is standing side by side and working as a collective. Clearly there's different objectives for each of the clubs. The ones who have more financial go compared to some of the smaller clubs. But the one thing we know in AFL football, there's no use playing against each other. You've got to actually have some opposition and we've got to make sure we get to the end. That's the big thing for us all.
Ed, the JobKeeper assistance package that the Prime Minister has announced, is it your understanding that some of the football club people that have been stood down will be able to have access to that?
Yes, it is. The Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, actually mentioned to me that was the case. It's the same as every business. We need to get businesses through, so it's not a charity. I mean, the AFL industry is worth billions of dollars in Victoria alone, far less around the country. That's why you get Tasmania wanting games down in Tassie, not because they're giving out money or because they like the game. It's because it's a great tourism business. Alice Springs, all these other places. You know, Queensland, last year we did a deal with the Queensland government with the Brisbane Lions to bring the Collingwood Army up on the Thursday before Easter. Why? Because we stay there for the full 5 days, fill up every caravan park, hotel, accommodation, and add economic stimulus to the Gold Coast of over $15 million into Brisbane in general. I remember when we played the Gold Coast, one of the first times, the headline in the local paper was, even if we win, even if we lose, we win, because the Magpies are filling the place up. Now, that's the same with all the big clubs going up, and that's going to be massive in the near future. Tourism's on its knees. So it is very important that once we get through this initial period, that football bounces back quickly, because not only for the people in football, not only for people who love the game, but for the general population. You ever look at the suppliers, you look at the food industries, you look at the hotels, you look at the function centres, you look at everything, the medical profession, you name it, football reaches out and touches it. So leave all the esoterics aside and just look at the hard numbers. Football needs to bounce back. It is our major sporting game in this country. It has to, for the good of so many people, and people who don't even know that they're being paid by football will find out the hard way if footy doesn't come back. So, yes, we need to be able to get our people, keep our people, and get them through the hard times, just like any other business.
Ed, on Friday night, you're going to be recalling the Giants and the Western Bulldogs, that very famous preliminary final. Looking forward to that one.
I am indeed. Peter Gordon's been ringing me up. He said he'll take legal action if we play last year's final, and he will give me any sort of legal advice and help along the journey if we actually play the preliminary final. But they've had a couple of good ones, the Doggies and GWS. There's a real emerging rivalry there, the western suburbs of Melbourne versus the western suburbs of Sydney. I think that's fantastic. So I can't wait for Friday night. It's going to be an absolute beauty. So can't wait to get in there, Sarah. Who have you got tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night we've got the Bombers and the Blues. So 1993 clash, Ed. It should be good.
All right, looking forward to that one. That's always good for all Collingwood supporters to watch both of them belt each other up. It's actually a good night, yeah, just to sit in and watch Essendon and Carlton go at each other.
Ed, it has been great to talk to you. You keep safe, take care, and we will see you in here on Friday night.
Good on you, guys. My arm's breaking holding this camera up. I've hit one out. But anyway, the upside, of course, is it's not too much a sacrifice to get my head on the TV. So there you go, guys.